So I'm pretty tired today. We decided when we first started Nomix that we just weren't going to build a marketing team, and we weren't going to hire admins or directors of operations. And it's for a bunch of reasons, but I see a lot of really bloated organizations, especially in the blockchain space. I see organizations that have like a COO and a finance person and this person and that person, and they'll have like a bunch of analysts, a marketing person, a PR firm. It'll be like a 15 or 20 person organization, and there'll be like three or four developers or engineers. And man, I just think that's a lot of bloat, especially considering that winter is coming, or arguably is here. And for all the talk that I hear in product organizations about tech debt, I think something that's often not discussed enough is org chart debt. And org chart debt is when you start prematurely building out your org prior to having real revenue or product market fit. And you end up with this org that has its own momentum and starts holding you back and makes it really hard to pivot. So at Nomix, there's me. And I'm the only non-technical person. I'm somewhat technical. I was a developer in a past life, but there's myself, our CTO and my co-founder. There's a designer developer, essentially a designer who operates at the design layer of our app and can, you know, retheme the app essentially without having to touch other parts of the code. So definitely deploys to GitHub and stuff like that. We have a front-end engineer. We have someone who works on the middle end, essentially on our API and our API gateway. And we're hiring, plug for that, we're hiring a distributed data systems engineer who works with Kafka and Cassandra and stuff like that. So if you know anyone who's interested in that position, please let them know. But man, I've just seen so many orgs where the org chart is more mature than the business, and they end up creating all this momentum around the people they've hired and the projects that the people they've hired have developed. And they end up in a place that they just can't crawl back from. So, particularly, I think in our space, given how active crypto Twitter is and the lure that that has, and I think the lure that content marketing has in our space, I think a lot of maybe competitive organizations to us end up, you know, hiring marketers, blog writers, analysts, and they end up in a place where it's like, you know, what are they? Are they a media company? Are they a software company? And all those people really, it's hard to measure. I mean, I think this is the biggest thing. It's hard to measure the effectiveness of what those people are doing if you don't have a product to sell, right? So when you have a product to sell, then you can measure the efficacy of all your marketing efforts, all those Medium posts, all those tweets, all those talks that are given, all those podcast appearances, all those podcasts that are created. You know, you can measure those against whether or not they're moving the needle on the paid product. And when you don't, you end up in a situation where you end up having to spend a lot of time managing people and empowering, you know, often incredibly talented people who kind of lack a North Star in the sense that they have no idea how the contributions that they provide affect the bottom line. So there was a book written by, oh, I forgot her name, but she ran People and Culture at Netflix. She wrote a book called Powerful. Yeah, her name's Patty McCord. And she wrote a book called Powerful. And it's either in that book or in another book that she stated that in her conversations with CEOs, she usually in private says something to them that's essentially like the question she asks them or poses to them is, what's your number? And when she asks that question, essentially what she's saying is, what are the number of people that the CEO could fire or could literally just be gone tomorrow, and it would have no impact on the business or the bottom line? And she states that in almost every company that the CEO just readily gives them that number, and it's usually anywhere from a quarter to a third of the company, often half the company, right? Could be gone the next day with no effect on the business. And I think that's really problematic, and I see it in the blockchain space all over the place. And it's really difficult. Like when you have tech debt, it might be a long time, but before I'll start all over. When you have tech debt and you're addressing it, the negative results are often that you have a bunch of engineering time that's going to things that the customers never see, right? Other than that the app doesn't break, right? But when you have org chart debt, usually the only way to deal with it is reorgs and restructuring and often layoffs, because when the company does find its true north, when it figures out how it truly does make money, the company often realizes that that they have all these people that aren't contributing to that. And even if they can keep those people, even if they can justify it in terms of the finances in the bank, the amount of time that goes into managing those people, setting agenda items, being excellent at whatever those people are doing, it's just a huge distraction to the overall company. And what they really need are additional headcount. What they really need is additional headcount that would go towards things that they don't have people for, right? Or the people they've hired are maybe a 50% match to what the company needs, but not 100% match. And then there's layoffs. And when there's layoffs, there's bad headlines. There's, because it inevitably hits the press. It affects morale. It doesn't make people feel good. A whole bunch of bandwidth and time goes into managing the layoffs and dealing with severances and media coverage and making the existing team that's there feel secure, which is like all of that is necessary, but time consuming. It makes the existing folks at the company question whether or not the leaders at the company really understand the direction. And so I think one of the rookie mistakes that CEOs make, and I've certainly made in the past, is to build out an org that is not in sync with the maturity of the business model of that org, right? Maybe they hired a bunch of content marketers, but they don't need a bunch of content. What they need is a sales team, right? So now they have to go and build that sales team. And often, I think, a whole bunch of time can go into agonizing and trying to justify when there is no justification, keeping the existing people who are often very talented and enthusiastic about what the company is doing. So what does this mean like practically for new CEOs? I think practically what it means is that a CEO's job is to make sure that until they know exactly the org that they need to build, they probably shouldn't be building it. So at Nomix, we refer to this as hiring behind the curve. And what that means is that you don't hire anyone until there's a huge gap in the org and it's absolutely clear that they need to exist, right? So, for us, we Nick started, my CTO started building the data back end of what we were doing. And we realized we needed a website. He started spending time on the website. We realized that one, we absolutely needed a website, and that he just didn't have the time for it to do the job that we needed done. So we hired someone to do that. As this was happening, our API started getting really, really popular, our crypto market data API. And there were new endpoints we needed to add. We needed to make improvements to the documentation. And it was becoming really a point of stress that we didn't have anyone in that position. And that's when we hired William, aka Trace, who handles that. And now it's same with our designer. We went through a similar process. And for me, this has meant that I haven't hired a finance person. I haven't hired a marketing person. I haven't hired an HR person. I haven't done any of that. So I handle legal support, HR, marketing, finance, sales, really everything that our team of, you know, our one designer and three engineers aren't doing, I'm doing. And sometimes it's really painful. It means often that I don't get a lot of sleep, that I'm stressed, but I absolutely know that the stress I'm feeling right now is much less than the stress that I'd be dealing with if I had a team and was constantly questioning whether or not it was the right team and we needed them and they were appropriate for the phase of our business maturity and business growth. Like, I could hire a salesperson right now and they could go out and try and make it work. But the truth is that I need to be closing every single sale. I need to really understand what it means to make sales in this area. We need to have a pattern of closing sales, which we're absolutely getting there, but we're not to the place yet where we need a full-time salesperson. And then and only then, when we know exactly what that role is, because we've been doing it and because, you know, that sort of the agony of doing it is it's we're leaving growth on the table, right? We're leaving money on the table, and we know exactly what that role is. Then we hire the person. Same with a marketer, same with a copywriter. And sometimes we have folks filling in for these positions, but they're contractors, right? So we're not tied to them. We're not locked in. And it allows us to experiment. We get to hire contractors that do a variety of different things. We get to hire people that perform a variety of services, and we get to really understand like the texture and the character and the nature of what we need to be done in a given role when we do need to hire for it. And then we can go about creating it. But there is nothing in my view like the stress of having a whole bunch of people in an organization that are like pretty good matches, but not exactly what the company needs. Right. So if someone's a really awesome fit for the company, it's really easy. You know what to do. You keep them, you retain them at all costs. You do whatever you have to make sure that they're happy in their role. And if someone's not a good fit, then the solution is pretty easy. You know, you have to part ways. What's troublesome is when there's someone in an organization who's talented, they're hardworking, they're good natured, they're a cultural fit, and you know, they're 60% or they're 70% or even 80% of what that company needs. And you know, they want a budget to spend, they want to hire people if they're senior, and having to deal with sort of that ambiguous match is just a terrible place to be. So I think in light of where the cryptocurrency space is, I would really encourage more teams to not build out orgs as fast as they think they should, right? Because that's the message, right? That's what you're told, is you raise a bunch of money and you hire as many damn people as you possibly can. You grow fast, you break things. And man, that is just a formula for org chart debt. And I like to say, and it's really my belief, is that organizations should only grow as fast as they can learn, right? And if an organization is taking too many bets simultaneously, they can end up in a place where they don't really learn from any of those bets. They don't really get to fully invest in any of those bets. And the leaders of the company are just juggling a whole bunch of things simultaneously. And it's not efficient, it's not effective, and it's just a path to a lot of pain and a path to layoffs. And those layoffs come in one way or another. Either the company lays folks off, or the market fires them, right? And what I mean by that is if you have a company and the burn is really, really high, you know, it's only a matter of time before that company has to figure out like who is absolutely essential on that team and who isn't, and they have to adjust accordingly. Or they have to raise more money, which carries a whole lot of other problems with it. If they raise again, is it at a higher valuation? How do they justify it if it is at a higher valuation? And they've got a really, you know, prolific, or, you know, they've got an experienced team that knows how to raise it. Can they actually grow into that valuation? If they can't, do they have to face a downward round the next time that they raise? So I think org chart debt is not talked enough about, and incredibly important, and something to avoid at all costs. I mean, certainly if you're sub 50 people, you should be avoiding org chart debt. Like, everyone in that org needs to be absolutely essential and needs to know exactly why they're there and what they're doing. And, you know, there's cost to this. Like, for us, the cost, because we don't have a huge marketing team, we can't be at all the conferences. We don't sponsor all the conferences. You know, we're not running paid media. You know, we're not doing a whole bunch of things. And it's not because we don't have the money for it. It's because we don't want to dilute our focus because we're so small and do a bunch of these unnecessary things until we firmly understand how crucial they are. And then we can take action on that. Anyway, I could talk about this at length. I think I'm probably going to be talking a bit more about startup HR. I don't know if there's a need for it, but I guess I just want to share my insights around org chart debt because of the importance of the topic. Okay. I'm done talking about this. I'll close this out now. I hope you enjoyed this. Take care. Bye.